Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you on a Saturday night following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 34-0 shutout win over the visiting Tigers of Missouri. Crimson Tide picks up its sixth win of the season, a much-needed conference victory, a season-extending win in some ways as the Crimson Tide now assured of moving into the month of November with pretty much its college football playoff fate very much in its hands. Love to hear from you on the show this evening. I see here in the show chat, we've already got a few of our regulars getting into formation here. Tex Tider chiming in. Howdy, TR, a Roll Tide from Tex Tider. Always good to hear from our pal Tex, and also Donald Andrews, a regular here on the program. He sends his greetings and salutations as well. RTR Mimi also checking in. So glad to have you folks. And we're going to have plenty to talk about. Performance that really, from the outset offensively, seemed a little bit like a continuation of the Tennessee game last week. But boy, Alabama in the second half really found its legs, I guess you could say, because Crimson Tide rushes for over 200 yards in the second half alone. You get Justice Haynes going, even get a big play from Richard Young there in the fourth quarter, your third team tailback. And from there, pretty easy. Now, look, you're going to temper things a little bit, understanding this was a shorthanded Missouri team, came in as the 21st ranked team in the country, but Brady Cook, starting quarterback, was very much questionable coming into Saturday. Played about, well, nearly half of the game before having to step aside. Actually, it was a injury, I think, to his throwing hand that pretty much curtailed his most recent appearance. Came in with the ankle issue. And then Drew Pine coming off the bench for Missouri. Just a turnover machine. Three interceptions from the backup quarterback, previously of Notre Dame and Arizona State. Malachi Moore with a big one there in the second quarter, not only getting the takeaway, but flipping the field so that the Alabama offense had a good situation to work with there, able to take that 13-0 lead. I talked about it. We had our live reaction first quarter show earlier today here on the channel. Talked about that in real time. And also on Spaces on Twitter at halftime when we did our Spaces segment there at the intermission, that first half that kind of felt like what you thought last week should have felt like at halftime. Alabama up two scores, taking a little better advantage of some opportunities offensively against this Missouri team. And Malachi with that interception and the return, you get a situation there with a free play on offense when you're able to get Missouri into the neutral zone. And Jalen Milroe with a strike down there inside the five to Emmanuel Henderson sets up the Jam Miller touchdown run, and feeling pretty comfortable at the half. Again, understanding Cook not likely to be anything close to 100%. In fact, we didn't really see him in the second half at all. Nate Noel, the Missouri running back, out for the game. But give credit to this Alabama defense nonetheless. A little bit of a hit-and-miss performance against Tennessee. I know a lot of folks really felt like the defense played well enough for Alabama to win in Knoxville. I felt that way for sure in the first half. End of the day, still gave up 24 points in the second half and still gave up over 200 rushing yards. But not so much the problem for sure. A full four-quarter performance from the Alabama defense going into the bye week, knowing that LSU is also going to benefit, you would think, from the bye week. LSU at last check, halftime, as we went on the air here, 17-7 up on Texas A&M in College Station. So the stakes for that one in Baton Rouge continue to seem to go up with each passing moment. Donald Andrews checking in here in the chat says a performance Bama needed and must build on. Yeah, I agree, Donald. I think confidence inspiring in some ways. Felt a little bit like in the second half, the Bama offense got its mojo back. That had been fleeting really since the South Carolina game. And then going into the second half of the Missouri game, able to kind of find itself, running back production. A lot of you had wanted to see that. You got your wish there, especially in the second half. I liked the way that Justice made the most of his opportunities. You know, I think you can consistently kind of expect that from Jam. Justice, it hasn't always been the case, but it was with him on Saturday against Missouri. And again, you even get the big play from Richard Young. Jalen with his legs in the second half against Missouri, more of a factor. Third down wasn't particularly good to Alabama. The good news for Alabama is that it wasn't particularly good to Missouri either. And so when you think about the three takeaways for Alabama, produced 14 points, got 14 points off those three takeaways. Alabama came into the game Saturday plus 4 in turnover margin in SEC play. Missouri was minus 1. So Missouri now minus 4 in SEC play and turnover margin. Hard to sustain a lot of success in a league like the Southeastern Conference when you're working at that kind of deficit where turnovers are concerned. So Alabama continuing in SEC play to do a really nice job of taking the football away. Unknown Damone checking in here in the show chat. We love Unknown Damone. Still got those Boyster Colt tickets, Damone, that you had to eat the last time around. Bray Hubbard, Unknown Damone, says, with the breakout game we all knew was coming. Bray, man, really nice performance. Drew Pine had a thing for throwing interceptions to that middle of the field safety, didn't he? Did it the first time in the game to Malachi Moore, and then does it the second time to Bray Hubbard. Almost identical, the interceptions with Malachi the first time, kind of hiding behind that umpire in the shadows there at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and then Bray doing it there in the second half. And then how about Quay Rousseau with an interception? You continue to have that rotation at the Wolf linebacker position. See a lot of Q. Saw some of Quay. Didn't see as much of Keanu Coote until later in the game on Saturday. And that was also a byproduct of this type of commanding win, was that you got to play a lot of people. Unfortunately, you didn't get out of it unscathed. Cole Adams, as we saw, goes down there in the first half. As we heard from Kalen DeBoer in the post game, lower extremity injury, didn't look or particularly sound good coming from Kalen there in his post-game press conference. So we'll see. That presented some opportunities for, you know, a guy like Kobe Prentice, a guy like Emmanuel Henderson, Kendrick Law. We saw from the outset of the game on Saturday a concerted effort, it looked like, to get Kendrick involved. And that was important because, again, in the first half, it wasn't a particularly prolific performance for this Alabama offense. A little, 60 rushing yards, something like that in the first half. Jalen took care of the football, which I thought was important in the first half because there were two sacks of Jalen where both the offensive tackles for Alabama got beat by Johnny Walker, the Missouri outside linebacker, who, by the way, came into the game with two sacks. And Johnny Walker, red, I guess, he went out of the game with 4. So he doubled his season sack total in the first half against Alabama's pass protection. But Jalen was able to protect the football in both those instances. So able to keep that turnover category, that turnover column clean. And Jalen finishes 16-26, 215. No touchdowns. Kind of interesting. Jalen did have the one rushing touchdown in the game, so there was some accountability from that perspective. But Justice Haynes with the big day, 79 rushing yards on just 8 attempts, the one touchdown. I thought on that touchdown run, I think it was the touchdown run, you saw some really good work from Caden Proctor, CJ Dupree, Robbie Oots. You know, in the passing game, it was relatively quiet for Ryan Williams for much of the game. We did see Jalen there later in the game really show some confidence in hitting Ryan Williams on the slant that went for a pretty big gainer. That's really where the money was at for the Alabama passing game, it seemed like, on Saturday. Middle of the field, play action. It wasn't a big part of the game plan, but when Alabama went to it, we saw Jeremy Bernard hit on an explosive play. I think it was like how many plays of 21 yards or more. That was a nice thing to see from this Alabama offense. Alabama, in terms of, I'm looking here, plays of 21 yards or more. I think it was 10 or 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 passing plays of 21 yards or more. And then rushing plays, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, yeah, 11 total plays of 21 yards or more for the Alabama offense. Again, just a huge second half for Alabama offensively. Jeremy Bernard, very good at the wide receiver position, 5 catches, 82 yards. Love the physicality he brings. Was able to get Dupree going a little bit, 2 catches for 27. Emmanuel with the E-man with the 28-yarder down inside the 5 there in the second quarter. That was a big play as well. And then, you know, defensively, again, key storyline in this game, 3rd down, did a really nice job against Missouri. And then took the football away 3 times. Shahad Campbell, when you think about sacks for Alabama, just 1 sack for Alabama and just 3 tackles for loss. And one of those, the 1 sack and one of the tackles for loss came from Shahad there early in the game when he was able to get to Brady Cook there on what looked like a simulated pressure. And similar to the offense, able to play a lot of people as the game wore on. You saw some more younger guys on the defensive line. Jordan Renaud's been one of those guys here for a few weeks that looks like a legitimate rotational piece at this point, not just a guy that when the game gets in hand, you see out there. We saw Edric Hill come into the game a little bit earlier. Hunter Osborne, another defensive lineman, we saw rotate in there too. Unfortunately, it looked like Hunter had an injury there in the second half, so we'll have to see what his status is moving forward. Let's get back into the show chat, gang. And if you have some comments, feel free to chime in. We'd love to get to those. Again, text Tider, reminding you folks, if you don't mind, hit that thumbs up for us. Hit a like for us here on the program. That helps us out tremendously. Appreciate the prompt there, text Tider. And also, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, Ryer on YouTube, we'd appreciate you going ahead and hitting that subscribe button right now. Also, there is a notifications bell there that you can hit. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. By the way, we will have Chase Goodbread, sports columnist for the Tuscaloosa News, coming up on Sunday night with Talking Tide right here on the channel. So more coverage coming to you as we move throughout the weekend. Donald Andrews checking in, agree on defense last week, but think they played a full game today. Absolutely. Absolutely agree. I liked too that they tried to preserve the shutout there late. You know, I mean, I think it's kind of like making shots in basketball. If you're struggling shooting the basketball from the field, even if it's a free throw, a layup, you need to see the ball go through the hoop. And that needs to become part of the expectation, part of the standard week in and week out, that you're not just going to, you know, for the sake of playing young people even, you know, give up points. And you like that you were able to play a lot of the young people there in the fourth quarter. But I also like that it was a point of emphasis to try to keep that bagel warm, as they say, keep that zero on the scoreboard. Also, Alabama in conference play came into this game giving up over 70% on defense where red zone touchdown conversions were concerned. So that wasn't a good number in conference play. Really need to start, you know, stepping it up in the red zone on defense and forcing some field goals, because the touchdown conversion rate had gotten up over 70%, which is quite high. So that was a positive, I thought, too. Leo checking in here. Now I'm wondering, some of these passes that Jalen has been missing, is some of those on the receivers? Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about too, Leo. It looked like even with Ryan in the game on Saturday, there were times where there was a little bit of a miscommunication. I know they talked about this on the broadcast, or it was brought up. You know, I had one particular throw where it looked like Jalen was anticipating an outcut from Ryan, and Ryan sat it down as if, you know, he thought he had zone coverage and he was going to sit it down in the hole. Jalen was anticipating an outcut. That's going to happen. You know, those two have not been really problematic in many ways at all. So you can live with that. It's something you can learn from for sure. You want to clean those things up because you're going to get into a situation coming up here very soon at LSU where communication on every level, as we saw at Tennessee, with all the penalties. And that was a bright spot in the second half too. Just two penalties against Alabama after five in the first half for 55 yards. So those are the things that you're going to continue to work on during the bye week. DH says here in the show chat, it was so good to see both the offense and defense play really good. It was. There was complimentary football going on, I thought. You know, the takeaways were great. But again, they're even better when you get return yards out of them, like you did with Malachi's, maybe not so much with Bray or Quay, but it's important that you also take advantage of those opportunities because it's not something Alabama's done prior to today at a high enough clip. You know, when you take the football away, you got to make it hurt. And of the three takeaways today, Alabama turned those into 14 points. Trent Wade checking in here. Great win, but we have to get these penalties under control. Killed two possible TD drives today. Yeah, you know, a part of the problem too with those is that when you think third down conversions and you see, what was it, 2 of 9 for the offense in the game on third downs? Well, you know, like the average third down, I think, was it was more than 10 yards. You know, it's third and 10 or so. You're not going to convert a lot of thirds. And penalties absolutely play into that. Penalties, sacks, you know, they don't help. But that was kind of the situation there for the Alabama offense. And really, Alabama, I thought the penalty on LT Overton, I didn't really like that call because the white hat throws the flag on the personal foul there, you know, after the what was it, the false start or what, delay a game. It's a delay a game against Missouri. No one can hear the whistle. It's on the end down near the student section. The white hat, I don't think even could hear a whistle. So LT doesn't. He comes in and he puts a hit on Brady Cook and ends up drawing a foul for the personal foul. But your point stands, Trent, especially when you're going on the road coming up here. Again, after what we saw, not only at Tennessee, but Vanderbilt too, you've got to be really as clean as you possibly can be. It's already going to be tough enough. LSU's good enough, and especially playing at home, you don't want to help the Tigers at all. So, again, special teams with the Cole Adams injury, that led to Jalen Mbakwe back there initially. Mbakwe had a little bit of a muff on a fair catch. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch continue to play out as well. That's another area where the bye week comes in handy because you're going to have to make some adjustments there. They've obviously worked with multiple guys back there, whether it's Ryan Williams, whether it's Mbakwe. And it looked like Mbakwe left the game there, what, in the second quarter, went into the locker room a little bit early. He continued to add that rotation. I thought Deshaun Jones did some nice things when he was in there. At the corner position, Devontae Smith seemed to play pretty solid there. At the Husky position, your safeties, again, Malachi and Bray both produced takeaways at that spot. You know what you've got at this point in Damani Jackson. So, yeah, you just continue to work that thing. Xavier Brown, I think he had a shot taken at him there on a vertical throw. Looked to have pretty good coverage in that situation. So, look, again, you know, shorthanded Missouri team, not not up to SEC caliber at quarterback without Brady Cook really healthier in there. So Luther Burden, Theo Weiss, those type of guys at wide receiver weren't going to hurt you all that much. And then again, with the running back situation being what it is, that made things even more difficult for the Missouri offense. Trent checking back in here. Says, speaking of LSU, Herbie keeps saying the holder for LSU is having bad holds, which led them missing two field goals. I'm not a special teams expert like you, but they seemed like fine holds to me. I didn't really, I heard Herbie talk about one of them. You know, I think there's this, and it's always, well, the laces didn't get turned out. It's not even so much that the laces get turned all the way around for kickers, especially at the SEC level. Really what it comes down to is making sure the laces aren't on that inside panel that the kicker's foot really makes contact with. You know, kickers are typically looking at, when they look at the football and it's like this, they're trying to hit the inside panel. They don't want their toe wrapping around the outside where the ball splits the seam. They want to be on their side of that panel that they're coming in from. Yeah, I know. Right. Right. Donald Ray Finkel. Absolutely. Laces out. But speaking of which, Graham Nicholson, how about those two makes today? I thought those were confidence inspiring kicks too, especially with what you have on the table coming up in the month of November. That is what you wanted to see from the 2023 Lou Groves Award winner. 47-yarder was drilled. That thing was halfway up the net. As I said during the, you know, kind of live reaction show we did earlier, he hits the 54-yarder at Tennessee last week. Like, he hit the 47 today. That 54 would add a chance, I think. But that was good to see from him as well. So, again, from an injury perspective, seems like he got out of it okay. The Cole Adams situation doesn't look great. You know, this is an opportunity perhaps for Kobe Prentice to reassert himself. You know, Kobe was targeted multiple times in the game once Cole went out. But when you look at the receiving yards, you know, or the receptions, you don't see them. So you want that to be more of a thing, or perhaps it is that Emmanuel Henderson becomes more of that guy to go along with Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Williams. You've got some tight ends that are capable as well. Kendrick Law as your hybrid player certainly can give you some of that. But as much as anything, really like seeing that run game get going there in the second half as the Crimson Tide comes out of the game, averaging 7.3 yards per carry. Doesn't hurt when you have a guy go 62. Like Richard Young did there late in the game. But you also get Daniel Hill in there as a true freshman running back, play a lot of offensive linemen, go 2-3-ish deep on the offensive line, defensive line, kind of the same thing. See some of those young linebackers in there like Justin Okoronkwo. Justin Okoronkwo is a fixture on some of the special teams that we see as a freshman, the German, and, you know, look, he's still very much learning, but he's fun to watch because Okoronkwo, he doesn't always hit the right gap, but whatever gap he hits it like a missile, kind of hits it like Reuben Foster does. Ben checking in, wishing everybody good evening. Trent checking back in. Do you think Caleb Odom is just not ready? He gets in some, but never targeted. Look, he's still a true freshman, you know. Not everybody's going to be Ryan Williams. I know you know that, Trent. I'm not breaking any news to you there. Kind of going through a transition, came in. Is he a tight end? Is he a wide receiver? You know, still trying to sort through, I think, some of that as well. Has plenty of talent, plenty of ability. There is nuances to receiver play, especially at this level, that can take some time to adapt to. I think he's a big target. I think he's going to be just fine. But once you get into this gauntlet, you kind of got to go with what you got. It's kind of like Keon Keeley at defensive end. I mean, I'm sure they would love to get Keon Keeley more involved, but you know, once you get into this run of SEC play, it's got to be, you know, that you're working the guys that you're going to have in the script week in and week out. Let's see. Unknown Damone back in here. Ty Simpson showed some speed running behind the play. Ty Simpson's got plenty of athleticism. He's got plenty of speed. So that's kind of the beauty of that situation right now. If for whatever reason Jalen can't be in the game, it's not going to be this complete flip to Ty's playbook. You know, it's going to be, I think, pretty much seamless in the ways of being able to call and dial up whatever Nick Sheridan wants to dial up or dials up right now with Jalen. Speaking of which, Gelato, man, I was over in Italy last week, and now I'm missing that Gelato over there in Rome and Florence. Gelato asked, what do you think about Jalen's play today? I thought it got better as he went along. I thought you saw kind of more of the juice, more of the confidence return there in the second half, and probably got started with late in the first half when they were able to hit for that touchdown drive after Malachi's interception. And then second half, we saw him pick it up in the run game some, and just seemed a little more confident. Maybe not so much in lockstep with Ryan today, but again, I didn't mind that they didn't feature Ryan as heavily because you got to continue to get lined up with some of these other guys. I liked what we saw from Jeremy Bernard, the tight ends. You know, I thought Jalen was fine today. I mean, it wasn't a Heisman Trophy winning performance, but took care of the football again, including a couple of times when he took some big hits on some sacks. So I think he pretty much did what he needed to do. Donald here, going to need to keep the run game going because LSU passing game is legit. Bama needs to keep the ball and score to win in Baton Rouge. Donald's ready to play that one. Still got a bye week, Donald. Breathe a little bit. 24-hour rule. You get to enjoy this Missouri homecoming win for a little bit. But it's a good point. Those are great points. You know, I'll say this for LSU. With the injuries that defense has had, Harold Perkins Jr., Jacoby Guillory, I believe it is, defensive lineman, they look like they're getting better under first-year coordinator Blake Baker, which he was brought in there to do. And you speak of – think of Missouri and the defensive coordinator situation. Blake Baker, previously of Missouri, now at LSU. And, you know, they crack open the checkbook, bring in Bo Davis, former Alabama defensive line coach, go get him from Texas. Looks like Bo's getting maximum production out of what he's got to work with right now. It's only going to get better, as we know, with Bo over there. So, yeah. It's going to be a challenge. But, again, I think that's where Jalen's legs, kind of like they were against LSU a year ago in Tuscaloosa, can be an X factor for Alabama on the offensive side. Ben checking in. He says, shout out to 22 LT Overton. Great game for him. Yeah. I mean, LT pretty much game in and game out. You know, he's going to flash. He's going to be a disruptive force. And two more tackles. And a quarterback hurry for LT Overton in the win over Missouri. More comments here. Gelato says the LSU offense has no weakness. Look, we got plenty of time to get into LSU. You know, the offensive line went into the season as a perceived big-time strength. I think that's still the case. Yeah, I always felt like Nuss was going to be just fine as a successor to Jaden Daniels, Kyron Lacy stepping up there, Aaron Anderson. I know that's a little painful for Alabama fans to see him tonight. What was it, 76 yards on the catch and run for the former Alabama wide receiver? Plenty of weapons. Always going to have weapons at LSU. I can't remember a time that LSU really didn't have weapons on the offensive side of the ball, whether it was running back, whether it was Wendell Davis, you know, going back to Tommy Hodson at quarterback. Yeah, that's always going to be a challenge. Always going to be a challenge. No doubt about it, Gelato. Little Joe C says, I just hope we can hang with LSU's physicality. Yeah, you know, that's going to be a big part of it. I think with Durham and Williams at the running back position, John Emery, of course, is out for the rest of the season with an injury. But they're still, again, capable running backs. You don't have to account for Jaden Daniels' legs. That in of itself helps. But there's no question. You know, look, Missouri had some issues running the football against Alabama. If you're Alabama, you'll take it. You know, what was it? Under 100 rushing yards from Missouri on Saturday in the game. Now, look, you didn't have Cody Schrader from a year ago at running back from Missouri. You didn't have Nate Noel. Carroll, the transfer from Georgia State, still ran for 80 yards. It was on 17 carries. Some of that was almost conceded because if Missouri wanted to run clock, you know, that was fine. But Roberts, the other running back today for Missouri, he goes for 71 yards on 17 carries. So between Carroll and Roberts, 34 carries, 151 yards, comes out to an average of about 4.5 per carry. So, you know, not terrible, but absolutely. I mean, with Nuss and that offensive line, Kyron Lacy, you know, you got to account for the skill positions across the board. You know, as we've seen, even with the tight end position at LSU, you know, you're going to have to deal with that. So it's going to be a big challenge. You know, LSU is one of those teams that it feels like Alabama doesn't really benefit much from when Alabama typically gets LSU. LSU seemingly is a team that you'd rather see in September, October, because November comes around. That roster is typically built in a way that it's quality from top to bottom. So even some injuries like they've had this year don't impact them as much as, say, an Arkansas or a Vanderbilt or a Kentucky, because the roster quality is what it is. And so you've got this perception, this narrative too. The godfather of the SEC says, I really think it will take a mistake-free game to win in Death Valley. Yeah, I don't know if you have to play the perfect game, but you can't have 13 penalties. You can't have red zone. You can't have end zone interceptions. Yeah, it would certainly help if you're much more along the lines of what you had today against Missouri than what you had against South Carolina and or Tennessee. Chris chiming in here says, we may beat LSU, but this team is not a championship team. Well, it's going to be hard to win an SEC championship at this point with the two league losses, although there's still a lot of football to go, man. And you got a lot, pretty much one loss teams in league play. I mean, Georgia with a league loss, Texas with a league loss, Tennessee, you know, lost Arkansas. So I wouldn't discount a whole lot, but I'm not expecting this team to make it to Atlanta. So that pretty much, there's no divisions either. So you can't even claim Eastern or Western Division championships anymore. But look, end of the day, you want to go into November with a chance to be in the tournament, whether it was when it was two teams, four teams, now with 12, the goal every year is to get to November with a chance to get yourself in the mix to play for it. And now with 12 teams, it may very well take a perfect November. And when you look at that month and it starts with LSU, you know, that looks to be clearly the biggest hill to climb, even with Oklahoma on the road, because as we saw, Oklahoma still has major issues, especially on the offensive side of the ball. In that loss to Ole Miss today, give Ole Miss credit, came out in the second half and just kind of took it to the Sooners in Oxford. Auburn at last check was tied 10-10 with Kentucky on the road. Auburn still looking for its first SEC win of the season. So when you prioritize the month of November, it's going to be that first game. I mean, it's going to be, you got to think, it's got to be that LSU game. So, and Donald updates us here. We got some updates here. 17-10 Auburn now. Wait, how about Kentucky? Go on the road, beat Ole Miss, and then just pretty much go straight down the drain. Get just thumped last week in Gainesville. Godfather of the SEC checking in here and says, touchdown Aggie. So what are we looking at? 17-14 at this point? Living a dream life. says, could have played the drinking game when either Bama's punt or punt receiving teams were on the field. It was an adventure. Yeah, it was. It was. Texas A&M, LSU now, 17-14 game. I knew A&M was getting the ball coming out to start the third quarter. Connor Wigman in that first half kind of looked like Connor Wigman against Notre Dame in the season opener. Le'Veon Moss can run that rock. He did have the big turnover early that helped LSU get out in front 10-0. But Mike Elko looks like he's got that thing headed in a good direction. Not going to be as flashy, not going to be in the headlines as much as they were with Jimbo. But I think in terms of consistency and knowing what you're going to get from A&M on a week-in, week-out basis, that's going to be the Aggies under Mike Elko. What about Diego today, by the way? Pushing the Longhorns to the limit, right? You had Nashville and Austin squaring off. Those are kind of mirror cities these days, both going crazy, Nashville and Austin. But Diego made it interesting. He did have the big pick there in the fourth quarter. But Texas was able to hold on and win by three. You had some teams in the SEC on the bye week. Florida, Georgia, going to play next weekend in the cocktail party. In Jacksonville, Tennessee, I think the bye week came at a good time for them. After the win over Alabama, Vols got some big ones coming up. Got a trip to Athens in November. A lot going on as we head into the month of November. Donald Andrews is asking, change of subject, but what about Freddie's grand slam last night? Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Walk Mookie to pitch to Freddie. Look, I understand it. You had the open base there, getting out at any base, but boy, Freddie, first pitch fastball, and that one went up there in the pavilion pretty good there at Chavez Ravine. Ben's asking for an update on Jimbo. Jimbo's sitting this one out this year. I would fully expect to see Jimbo back in coaching, though. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He's got, what, $70 million in buyout cash that he got from A&M? He doesn't have to be in a hurry. He does not have to be in a hurry at all. But, hey, we're never in a hurry here. But we always appreciate you joining us on Ryer on YouTube. Again, if you haven't subscribed to our channel, we would humbly ask that you do that. Hit that subscribe button. There's a notification bell right there as well. If you'd hit that, you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And we always appreciate a thumbs up, a like. That helps us out, and we appreciate that as well. So there you go. Alabama, 34. Missouri, nada, nil. Thank you, Donald. Always enjoy talking with you as well. Again, Chase Goodbread, Tuscaloosa News, Talking Tide coming up on Sunday night. That's our regularly scheduled programming. And so we're not done with this one yet, even though Alabama headed into the bye week. You got Alabama men's hoops coming up here. A lot of excitement about that. College basketball right here. We're right here on the doorstep. But right now, a lot of college football, as you might expect, right here on the channel. We're going to continue to do that with you as much as we possibly can. So Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. And until next time, so long, everybody.